Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Deborah Cobray.
You're fornicating. You're not screwing, you're fornicating. Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, also known as screwing somebody outside of marriage, which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetous, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. We can't do that anymore. No more fornicating. So if you're fornicating right now, stop. And if I offended you, I humbly apologize. Pray for me, because this is what happens to old pastors, is they're not in the pulpit very much, is they backslide. I was reading Titus this morning. Oh, God, I got to stop. I was reading Titus this morning. I got to read this to you because I thought it was so funny. You know, Jim and I took a vow. We didn't know we were going to be pastors, you know, but he was a drunk and I was kind of a druggie. So we thought, oh, gosh. We better straighten our lives up. We didn't know we were going to be pastors, but he came home to have dinner one night. We had just been married about a month, and I had a glass of wine, and I was three sheets to the wind. And I didn't take much to get me drunk. And, you know, I was a great drunk. I was a happy drunk. Not mean, but happy, you know, and very affectionate when I got drunk. And so we made a vow. He looked at me and he said, well, my dinner's not done and you've had a glass of wine and this isn't working out, is it? He said, so we're taking a vow. So we got on our knees before God and we vowed not to drink any liquor and that we would put it out of our lives and put it out of our house. And so we haven't. We didn't. And so I was reading this. And second, this has nothing to do with the message, but can we just have fun for a minute? I was reading this. This all has to do with faith. Okay. Titus chapter 2, it says, let the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior. Okay, I was irreverent with screwing. I'm sorry. Fornication. That they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, not given to much wine. And I said, Lord, why did you say that about older women, that they were not to be given to much wine? And he said, well, you know, they're married to older men. They got to do something to help themselves through these years. So I said, well, God, I'm all right. I'm okay because we don't do it. So there you go. All right. Learning how to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. There's no other way. I've taught in this church many times that faith is God's economic system. It's what takes from the invisible and brings it into the visible world. And so what moves goods and services, what takes what you need from where you can't see it into this world, it's faith. So you're going to live by it. You're going to live by it until you go home to be with the Lord. He's the God of faith. And I just want to show you just the creative process and how it works in the Godhead and then how it works in your life. We're going to look at the Trinity. Then we're going to look at the fight, the labor, and the rest. Is that all right? So let's see how this thing works, because you're made in the image of God. And God, when he breathed life into us and he made us in his image, he made us to be like him, and he's the God of faith. And it says in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith we know that the worlds were formed by the word of God, that the visible was made by the invisible world. So what does that mean? It means that if we go to Genesis chapter 1, so let's just go to the law of first use. The first place that we see the word of God opened up, and this is going to show us something. And it says in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. So we see God and we see the Holy Spirit, right? Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. So now we see not just God and the Holy Spirit, but we see the word of God going forth. Would you say that's true? And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the day light, called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were of the first day. So we see that in creation, at the very beginning, that the Father was there, the Spirit was there, and the Word was there. Now, if you'll just go with me quickly to John, in New Testament. Let's just look at this quickly. In John chapter 1, it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. So we see that the Word was with God, do we not? So we have God, we have the Word, and we have the Holy Spirit. Would you say that's true? All right, now let's just go to Colossians. Colossians? Is that me? Lord, do I need to repent? I'm so sorry. I'm feeling bad. See, now the enemy's condemning me. Because I said, you know, that word with a screwdriver. Colossians. Let's look. Colossians chapter 1. It says in verse 16, for by him, speaking of Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. That's speaking of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to go with me to Revelation. Isn't this fun? You got your Bibles? None of this is on the overhead, so we're just going to wing this, so it's all right. This Bible study, is that all right? All right, let's go to Revelation chapter 19. Verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So we see God the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, do we not? Now the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. And we know that Word that became flesh was Jesus Christ. So now we see that Jesus, made in our image, God came to us. We were made in his. Now he comes as a human, made in our image, through the virgin birth. That he now comes to identify with humanity, not with angels, but with humanity. He walks the human experience. He goes to the cross. He dies for us as a sacrifice. He's raised from the dead. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he has now included you and me as his people, his body, his church. Are you with me? So go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. We're looking about faith, and what has this got to do with the amen and the hallelujah? What has this got to do with me waiting on my healing for my ear? What has this got to do with you being able to break things in your life that the enemy wants to just make you miserable over? This has got everything to do with it because it's going to be done by faith. That's how you're going to do this, by faith. You're going to do your part, but you can't do what God only can do, and God will not do what you must do. And I had to learn that, and I am learning that, and I'll never stop learning this. But it says in Ephesians chapter 1, and he put, verse 22, and he put all things under his feet, speaking of Jesus, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and in all. So now I see that through the new birth, the new creation, that I am now the body of Christ and that he's the head, I'm the body, that there is no separation, that even though I'm on the planet Earth, he's in heaven seated at the right hand of the Father, the Word, he's a man, he still has the scars in his hands, and he says, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it for you because I go to the Father, he has sent back the Holy Spirit to us. Now something has changed and something has happened, and now I have stepped into a life that is incredible, and it's the process of faith. So looking back now to Genesis, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We see that there's God the Father. We see that there's God the Word, and there is the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? So, God conceives the plan. The Word commands the plan. The Word, God said, let there be light. God conceived light. He's conceived it because he's God and he's the creator of all things, right? So he conceives it. You see, what came first, the chicken or the egg? The chicken came first. Thought, word, substance. Thought, word, substance. Thought, word, substance. Am I going too deep for you? He made you in his image. That's why you can image. That's why you can see on the inside. That is why you have the ability to be able to imagine on your imaginer. You're made in the image of God. God conceives his creation. The Word commands his creation. And the Spirit creates the creation. That is how the Godhead works in creation. Are you with me? The Father conceives it. The Word commands it. The Spirit creates it. Are you in agreement? Now let's fast forward to us. New birth. Here I am. New creation. I'm bone of his bone. I'm flesh of his flesh. I'm joined to him. Christ in me, the hope of glory, Paul says in Colossians 1:12. Oh my gosh. Now he says it's expedient that I go, because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. And if the Holy Spirit comes to you, you'll be able to do and whatever you ask in my name. Because you see, now that whole system of God conceiving, the Word commanding, the Spirit creating, now God has chosen to tabernacle inside of me and inside of you. And now God is able to conceive his will in me. As the body of Christ, I'm able to declare and command the Word by my mouth. And the Holy Spirit is able to create for me or through me, depending on what the need or the faith project is. And that is how the supernatural comes into being. Are you with me? I know this is simplistic, but God said a child could understand this. Come as a child to the kingdom. The kingdom of God is within us. It's here. I don't have to wait for eternity. I can be here now. So if that's the case, let me just give you some verses so you don't think I'm just preaching some kind of heresy. The Father conceives his will in us. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." How about this one? Philippians 2:12. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." He is now able to think his thoughts in me, declare his word by me, and create that which is necessary on this planet, bringing the heaven to earth, the kingdom of heaven to earth. Come your kingdom, be done your earth, through his vessel, his tabernacle, his temple, his building, his habitation. It's called the church. It's called you and me. And that is how we live our lives, by faith. And so everything in my life that I need, everything, whether it's a manifestation of a supernatural healing to resurrect dead nerves through an infection, whether it is a cancer report of leukemia, whether it is a child that has been born with a birth defect, whether it is sanctification, which means I'm exclusively his, but I keep screwing up and I keep having this soul tie with this man I keep going back to, and I can't seem to break it, and I can't seem to get away from it, and I keep going back, and I keep going back, and I hate myself, and I feel terrible, and I want to run away from church, and the enemies bat me around. It's going to be done. You're going to be set free, and you're going to see the manifestation by something called faith. God's word in me, God's word spoken by me, the Spirit creating through me. That's how it works. So, having said that, let's just make sure that I'm not telling you something that isn't right. The Son commands his word through us. Verse 2 Corinthians 4:13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. So we also believe, and therefore we speak. The spirit of faith. There's a law of faith. You see, there's a kingdom. The kingdom has laws. Just like the government of the United States has laws, God is a king. He has authority. He has rule. He has dominion. He has reign. And in his kingdom, there are rules and there are laws. The law of the kingdom of God, everything comes under the law, the supreme royal law of love, agape love, everything. But the law of faith supersedes the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death killed me and destroyed me, but faith, the law of faith, set me free from the law of sin and death, according to Romans chapter 7 and 8. But you see, if you don't know these things, then when something happens and, you know, people pray for you and your ear doesn't get healed or your kid doesn't come home or your marriage breaks up or you lose your job or you've lost your house or you look in the mirror and you've just gained 20 pounds and you hate yourself. If you don't learn how to live by faith and live in this adventure, you're going to live depressed. And you're going to live beneath the life that God has for you. If you ever thought that this high school woman who went to high school and married the kid that was a grade under me, got pregnant at 18, he was 17, had to go to Las Vegas, get a judge to certify I was pregnant in 1969. This poor kid was 17 years old. He didn't know what to do, so he went to Vietnam. He came back full of drugs. Life changed. I had a baby. Off we went to Germany. Off we went to all kinds of screwed up things. Then I went back to college for 2 years. I only went for 2 years. If you think this loser woman could have accomplished what Jim and I have accomplished in the last 40 years of our lives, learning how to walk by faith, there's no way we could have done this without the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and the Father. There's no way. This doesn't just happen. So I know what I'm talking about. It's not about where you are right now in your life. It's not about how old you are. It's not about how educated you are. It's not about whether you're pretty or not. Everybody, every one of us women want to be pretty. But guess what? Not all of us were born pretty. I looked at my baby pictures and I thought, God, I was an ugly kid. I thought I was prettier than that. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, why do you have to be pretty? And I said, well, I always wanted to be. He says, well, have you looked in the mirror? And I said, yeah, I'm 66. What happened? And he says, well, this temple is designed to disintegrate. It's a house for you, only temporary. And if you're looking at yourself for satisfaction and to feel good about yourself, my darling, you are going to be very depressed as the years pass, because this is about as good as it's going to get for you, honey. Listen, it's not how we look. It's not how much we weigh. It's not our personalities. People tell you you have a terrible personality. You're mean. You're a you-know-what, a female dog in heat. I hate that word. I hate that word. You're daughter of God. It's not who you are. It's not who you are. You're not a trash can for somebody's sexual desires. You belong exclusively to Jesus Christ. He paid the highest price he can pay for you. He does not want you living beneath your abilities in him. He does not want you broke and so poor that you can't even pay your bills. He doesn't want your family to be so filled with generational curses and sin that they go to hell. He didn't save you and pay the price for you that he paid so that nothing would change. He has delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness. He's translated us into the kingdom of God. He has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. Every promise of God is yes and amen in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus. And I can either live up to this amazing life or I can live below it. It's up to me. It's my choice, not his. So, the just shall live by faith. God conceives his will in us. The Son commands his word through us. The Holy Spirit, the agent of power, creates his will for us and through us. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Acts 1:8, Jesus said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You see, that was spoken 2,000 years ago, but God says there's power. There's the Spirit of God, the very agent of creation that was hovering over the waters when the word came forth. When the matter and the substance was declared by the word, the Spirit of God made it happen. He raised Jesus from the dead. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of me and on the inside of you. And there's not a devil in hell. There is not one loosed on the earth. There is not the roarings of the enemy. There is not a principality. There is not a power. There is not famine. There is not sword. There is not poverty or depression that can separate me from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus. I belong exclusively to him. How do you want to live it? How do you want to live it? What's your faith project? What do you need? What do you want? What are you believing for? Well, I believe, but it didn't happen. Well, so what? Who says it's not going to? And if it didn't happen this side of heaven, I don't care because I'm not going to stop believing until I see Jesus. And then everything will be explained to me. But I'm not stopping the faith that he's given me, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And the life I live, I now live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen, I guess the question is, faith works by love. How much are you in love? How much are you in love with him? And how big is he? How big is he in your life? Because the two things I want to talk about, and we're almost done. Is that clock right? Okay, good. I'm almost done. The two things that I just want to look at today that can stop the process of faith in my life. There's many things, but I'm going to deal with two. Are the fear of the visible, and unbelief. Those two things will stop me from believing. They will hinder me between the amen and the hallelujah. They will discourage me. They are meant to cause me to lose heart. You know, I love my husband. I've been married to him for a long time. That man swept me off my feet. I looked at him and I thought, oh my gosh, and he's rich too. I looked at him last week and he turned 71. And I thought, oh, I can't believe I get to be married to this man. He's so handsome. He's such an incredible man. And I love him so much. And I don't want to be here without him. Lord, I don't want to be on this planet without him. I love him. I love him more than I loved him when I married him. Now, he can really make me mad. And oh, mad can I make him mad. I know every little button he doesn't even know about. And then I push it and boom, there it is. But I'm in love with him. And you know, he's my husband. But Jesus is my bridegroom. And he wants me to be in love with him. He wants me to be passionate about him. He wants me to think, oh my gosh, you did that for me? When I look up and I see the heavens, I just go, oh my gosh, how big are you? When I look down and I see the velvet of a pansy and the colors and the flowers and the textures and the grass and I have this koi pond and I have these kois. I guess they're kois. Maybe koi is just plural. I don't know. But they keep having babies. It's like the sex pond. I mean, that's what my pond man calls it, the sex koi pond, because we have like hundreds of kois. They're just multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. He has to come and scoop them out, and he sells them somewhere else. And it's like, how did you do that? And you look at creation, and you look at some of the animals, and you just, I mean, when I was building my house, and I went to the granite factories and looked at granite, I would cry, and I would have a moment with God just looking at the stone, thinking, you put this in the dirt, and nobody can see it until we dig it out, and then we wash it and polish it, and look at this, God, who are you? Who are you? That you would be mindful of me. And that you'd step out of eternity and you'd become a man so that I could step into eternity and become a daughter. I love you. I tell the Father every morning, I love the Son. I love your Son. I'm in love with him. You see, because when you begin to fall in love with Jesus, faith works by love. And your faith begins to get stronger and stronger and stronger. So that between the amen and the hallelujah, no matter what hell brings, you're in love with the Son. And the Son's getting big on the inside of you. And the Son has made all things, and all things were created by him and for him and without him. Nothing was made that was made. That he is before all things. He's preeminent over angels and principalities and powers and rulers in heavenly places. And he has the keys of death and hell. So I'm going to be afraid of a bad report or the visible. Two things will stop our faith. Fear of the visible. So what are you afraid of? See, am I afraid of going deaf? That it's not going to be. It's not going to manifest and my ears are getting worse. Because that's what the enemy tells me. And the doctor says it's genetic now. You're going to be deaf like your father. And you see, that's something I have to deal with. Because that is a thought that comes to me all the time. Because there is visible evidence in my body. So I have to walk out. The Father conceives it, the Son commands it, the Spirit creates it. I am bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Father, I thank you that you speak those things that are not as if they were. And Father, I don't care what my ears say or what the earring test says or what the doctor says, but I thank you, Father, that himself took my infirmities and carried away my diseases and that he quickens the dead and he makes alive that which was dead. And I thank you that a nerve in my ear is no big deal to you. If you can hang the moon and if you can make the sun and if you can speak the galaxies out of your mouth, in Psalm 33 it says that you breathe out the stars and space. And if you can do that, Jesus, what is one little human ear to you? You see, you have to fight back with the fear of the visible, because the visible will be knocking on your door all the time. You're never going to get free. You're never going to change. You'll always be that way. It'll never be any different. You see, that will come, that visible evidence will come, and it will come, and it will come, and it will come. And if you don't begin to fight the good fight of faith and wage war against it, then you will lose heart and you'll step away from what God wanted you to step into. Fear of the visible, because the visible is very real. We live in a very corporeal, natural world. And there's lots of natural facts. Now, some things you need to keep to yourself, like Mary hid in her heart. You don't need to be telling your doctor. I'm pretty smart. I don't go telling my ear doctor, oh, well, Jesus has healed me. I'm not deaf. Because you know what? Then they're going to give me a drug. And they're going to put me in a behavioral center and tell me that I'm in denial. You know, I'm not casting my pearl before swine. Hello, I'm not calling the doctor a swine. But unbelief is evil. And you need to be careful. Make your confessions and speak and command out of your mouth. But you can do it in your closet. You can do it by yourself. You can do it in your car. You can do it with your sisters who are believing with you. But be careful and hide these things in your heart so that people don't put you in a behavioral center. Because this world doesn't know anything but what they can touch, taste, smell, feel. That's all they know. They don't know that the invisible made the visible and that you and I are operating in the law of faith. So, what two things? Fear of the visible and unbelief. Now, oh gosh, are you all right? Can I just finish this up? Good heavens, I've talked so long. All right. Fear of the visible. Jesus said in Matthew 6, he said, why do you worry? Why are you worrying? Well, you can't even make yourselves taller for crying out loud. That's a small thing. Why are you worrying? You worry about what you're going to eat. You worry about what you're going to wear, how you're going to live. You worry about all these things. Well, the Gentiles, those that don't even have a covenant with me, they worry about those things. But doesn't your heavenly Father know that you need these things? Therefore, don't worry. And don't borrow tomorrow's worries because today's going to be filled with fear of the visible. Just live in today. There's grace for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. You just stay right here in this day. Because worry is to fear what hope is to faith. Worry is negative imaging. Worry is thinking and imaging about something that could happen that hasn't. Is that not? Hope is imaging and confidently believing and expecting what will happen because God gave me a promise that it will. I see in my hope a completely healed ear. That's what I'm visually believing and seeing. That's my hope that fuels my faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Why? Because he made you the ability like him to image. The image. The direction, the voice, and then the substance. Are you with me? So if the enemy can get you to worry, then what you've done is you have just fueled fear. But if you say, oh, no, I'm not going there. He told me not to. I'm going to treat worry like sin, and I'm going to come over here, and I'm going to hope, and I'm going to feed my faith, and I'm going to starve my fear, fear of the visible. Therefore, I refuse to think about it like that. I'm going to think about it like what God says. And God's the God that speaks those things that are not as if they were. Now, worry fuels fear. Hope feeds faith. Well, the opposite of belief is unbelief. Unbelief will stop faith. Because unbelief, let me see if I wrote it down somewhere, the definition of it. Unbelief, hang on, because I want to read this to you. Unbelief is as powerful as faith. It's as powerful as faith. Unbelief believes in the power of evil in place of the power of God. Unbelief is as powerful as faith. It believes in the power of evil in place of the power of God. Now, do you remember the woman who touched the hem of his garment? And she said, if I can just touch his garment, I'll be healed. And do you remember those two blind men in Matthew chapter 9, and they cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And he said, what do you want? He said, I want to see. Do you think I can do this? Yes. He said, be it unto you according to your faith. You see, my faith can speed up the time. My faith can reach into the invisible and bring into the visible realm, the corporeal realm, that which I need. So what does the enemy want to do? He wants me to get off of faith and onto fear and unbelief. Because if he can keep me there, he doesn't have to do one more thing to me. I am now out of the picture and I'm no longer a threat. But wait a minute. God's called me to be a daughter of the Most High God, to walk in my royal privilege, to cast out demons, to speak with new tongues, to lay hands on the sick and they will recover, to preach the gospel to every creature, to be a daughter of God and to prosper and to do what God's called me to do and fulfill my destiny on this earth. So you see, there's a fight going on, and the fight is the fight of faith. And Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. There's laid up for me now a crown of righteousness. If you don't think it's a fight, then you might as well quit now, because you're in for the fight of your life, because the enemy is after your faith. He's after your heart. He's after your hope. He's after your image. He wants you to worry. He wants you to fret. He wants you to be afraid. He wants you to hate yourself. He wants you to be discouraged about who you are. He wants you to think there'll be no change. This is how it always is. You'll never do this. You'll never do that. My kids will never change. He just wants to feed that visual to you constantly. And you know what, girls? It's time to say enough. Enough. I break those generational curses in the name of Jesus. My children shall return from the land of the enemy. I speak what God says over them. They're disciples taught of the Lord, obedient to the will of God. My son cannot stand in the counsel of the ungodly. Oh, God, if he's out there hanging with the gangs or doing drugs right now, I pray a holy misery over that boy. I pray that he'll not be able to sit down and rest and relax where the mocker and the scornful are gathered. And you begin to decree, and you begin to declare, and you begin to command the will of God into the earth as a daughter of God, joined by the Spirit of God. And God takes from the supernatural and brings it into the natural realm. That's how this works. That's how this church got built. That's how my kids are all serving God, pastoring right now. And Pastor Jess gets up here and I marvel when she speaks, because she's so tuned in. I was singing that song with you and I thought, well, do they even know what covered by your grace means? Do they even know that, God? She gets up here and that comes right out of her mouth. She talks to you about it. You see, she's equipped. She's built, fashioned and formed by the Holy Spirit to do what she's doing. She's fulfilling destiny right now. But there was a time when she wasn't. There was a time when my children weren't fulfilling destiny, and they were trying to be dragged into hell. Listen, fear of the visible and unbelief will stop your faith. You have to stop unbelief and say, no, I'm not going there. What feeds unbelief is disobedience. Obedience feeds faith. It's the work of faith. Disobedience feeds unbelief and it feeds rebellion. If you're in disobedience, God's told you to do something, then you get on your knees, you ask his forgiveness, and you ask him to give you the grace, the help, to shut off and to stop doing what you know you're not supposed to be doing. He loves you. He will forgive you. He will cleanse you from unrighteousness, and he'll give you the ability to walk it out one day at a time. That's what he did for me. He did it for me. He'll do it for you. I am no different than you are. So what does all this mean? It means that there is a fight of faith. There's a labor. It says we are diligent to enter the rest of faith. Hebrews 4, it says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he said. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundations of the world. Therefore, Hebrews 4:11, let us be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter that rest of God, to know and experience it for ourselves, that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience into those who in the wilderness fell. Miracles happen when you push through the fear of the visible and you don't let it stop you. Miracles happen when you put down unbelief, because it will come to all of us. Doubt, it starts with doubt, then it starts with a little disobedience, and then before you know it, your heart gets hard and you're not believing. You know people that were here on fire, now they're not here anymore. Where did they go? Where did they go? You think it can't happen to all of us? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I now know what it's like not to have to be in a church service. The first time in 38 years. And I can sit in front of my TV and not go to church because I'm not preaching or my husband's not preaching. And we're trying to stay away so that these kids don't have to tell us, no, that's not your job anymore. And it's hard on them. They've been amazing. It's hard to get your hands off of something that you were used to create. So there's been a lot of grace, and you guys have been phenomenal, phenomenal. But I now know what it's like not to come. It takes effort to come. It takes effort to hear the word of God. It takes effort to say, God, I shouldn't be doing this. Help me to stop. You see, if you want to enter the rest, you're going to have to do what you have to do, which is to strive diligently, to labor to enter that rest. But this is where I want to go, and this is where we're going to end. So there's a labor of faith. It's not easy. You got to keep at it. And if you put it down, if you walked away, if you said, it's not going to happen, and you said, I'm not doing it anymore, I'm not believing anymore, and you've walked away from the amen, then just step back in. Just step back in. God will put you right back where you were. You say, God, I'm sorry. I allowed the enemy to cloud me, and I allowed the enemy to hurt my heart, and I'm here again, Lord, and I thank you that you forgive me, and I thank you that I can believe you for the things that I've not seen yet, and I thank you, and I give you praise, and you just begin to praise him and thank him and be grateful for everything in your life, and suddenly you're back on that line of faith. You're back in the diligence of the labor of God and the rest of faith, because here's what happens, is that there's a rest that he's called us to. There finally comes a time in your life when all of a sudden what you had to work at, what you had to do, what was so difficult, now just becomes like first nature. Things don't happen, but it's all right. My ear's not healed. People ask me, did your ear get healed when Andrew Cabal came? No, but I'm healed. God's working on me. I'm okay. I'm all right. You see, there comes a place in faith where you're waiting for the manifestation, but you're not churned up, you're not frustrated, you're not angry, you're not mad, you're not sad, you're not depressed. You are actually in this place called rest. This place where actually it's an atmosphere of goodness. And you have settled in your heart that it's all good. And whether I see it or I don't see it, doesn't matter one bit to me, because I have fallen in love with the King. He said it, I believe it. It's going to happen, whether it happens this side of heaven or that side of heaven. I don't even care anymore. Because if for some reason it didn't happen, and I had to just learn sign language, or I had to write on a tablet, but I had breath in my breast and I had life in me, I would still be me. Whether I can hear or not hear doesn't make me less who I am. I am daughter of God, loved of heaven, loved of God, sanctified, righteous, holy, precious before the Lord. You see, it just doesn't matter. It's called the rest of faith. We are inwardly fashioned. I'm going to end with this. We're inwardly fashioned for faith, not for fear. Fear is not our native land. Faith is. We are made so that worry and anxiety are like sand in the machineries of our lives. But faith is the oil. We live better by faith and confidence than by fear, doubt, and anxiety. In anxiety and worry, our being is gasping for breath. These are not the native air of heaven. But in faith and confidence, we breathe freely. These are our native airs and our native lands. A John Hopkins University doctor says, we do not know why it is that worriers die sooner than non-worriers, but it's a fact. But I, who am of a simple mind, think I know. We are inwardly constructed in nerve and tissue, brain cell and soul, for faith and not for fear. God made us that way. To live by worry is to live against reality. For God has called us to enter the rest of faith, whereby we cease from our works and we enter into the supernatural of His. I love you. You've been so good. Enough.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.